Good morning and welcome. Welcome to our exploration of the observer self and the life plan. And to get into alignment together, let's allow ourselves to move into the prescription for spiritual alignment. As we know that we are aligned with the presence of God within. We are protected by God's love, wisdom, knowledge, and grace. The God consciousness within helps us discover more about who we are. Thank you, God, for the gift of spiritual intuition. Thank you, God, for aligning our conscious, subconscious, and superconscious minds. And as we align together, we align with our infinite presence, our higher self, that infinite part of us. And we also align with our life plan, that plan which we brought into this life to determine the spiritual lessons that we were going to learn as a soul. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to have an interesting journey because we're going to talk about how to use what Jane called the most important tool in terms of monitoring and navigating your life plan as you move through this lifetime of yours. And once when she was asked what the best tool was that would support this life plan, she said the most important tool was the observer self, because it brings us into that center. It brings us into the straight and narrow. You know, she has a picture that she has shown many of us, a painting of a man walking a tightrope. And she said that this is a depiction of what the soul is doing in this lifetime. This is what your soul is doing in this lifetime of yours, walking, in essence, a tightrope, trying to stay balanced, trying to continually move ahead while not falling off one way or the other. And the observer self is that mechanism, that tool that you use to stay on the beam of your life plan. Because the truth is that this lifetime in the third dimension, in the personality self, is lived in the opposites. And the opposites want to pull us one way or the other way. Now, I've never been a tightrope walker, but I have heard people say in interviews that if they don't want to fall off the tightrope, if they want to make some progress, the one thing that they do not ever want to do is look to either side. They want to keep their attention firmly fixed on that which is before them. And you need to keep your attention using the mechanism of the observer self firmly fixed on that which is ahead of you. You are moving ahead on your life plan. And in every moment, your observer self is helping you to see what's in front of you so that you don't fall to either the positive side or the negative side of the opposites. And on a tightrope, you fall off either way. You can fall off to the left, which is the positive side in this analogy, or to the right, which is the negative side. Now, we think that the negative side is the side where there's all the danger, where we get off the beam, we get off the track. But how often have we seen people through hubris or arrogance or being attached to things in the positive side of the opposites fall off their beam on that side? As much as you and I both want to win the lottery and have all the wonderful relationships and money and success and fame and all those wonderful things in life, the truth is that that is just as treacherous as the negative side. And the observer self helps us to stay out of both sides of the opposites. Your life plan, of course, was designed to include both the positive and the negative. That's part of life in the third dimension. That's part of life as a personality self. But rather than falling prey to going too far to one side or the other, in your observer self, you're able to take both as they come and learn from both, because the observer self's purpose, more than anything else, is learning. It's to teach you. It's to show you. I was just recently talking to a friend, a spiritual friend, and we were talking about how important it is to be able to see those negatives and those positives in life so that we can rise above them, so that we can pull out from the emotions and rise above the drama of the third dimension. And isn't your third dimension just filled with drama? I know in my life, I can get all caught up in politics or who's the masked singer or what my neighbor is doing or who, judgments, fears. This is all the drama of the opposites. And they pull us off the beam. They pull us off the track. If we want to make progress and move forward in our life plan, we have to use our observer self to navigate the opposites and to keep our eyes firmly fixed on what? What is it that's ahead of us? What's ahead of us is our infinite nature, our infinite self, the destination of every soul, enlightenment, awareness, awakening. And you do this by having your eyes open, your heart open, your hands open, and accept whatever's coming to you. Accepting without attachment. And that's the key word, without attachment. Whatever's coming to you. Accept those things in the positive opposites that are coming to you. Yes, you're going to go and have a wonderful meal and a great dessert and a fun conversation, and you're going to see nice programs on the internet or on TV. These are all positive things in the opposites, but you don't get attached to them. I know my attachment is to the relationships with my children, my adult children. And I really have to monitor that and watch that and let go of the attachments of my expectations just because I enjoy them so much. But it doesn't mean that we have to go through life as a robot, as an automaton, without feelings or without appreciation for things. When we hear a piece of music or have an experience of a sunset, we can take that in and enjoy it without getting attached to having to have that same thing over and over again. Know that life will bring us both the positives and the negatives, and the negatives will probably grow us more than the positives. And so when the negatives come, we also accept those. Acceptance is the key to the opposites in the observer self. Acceptance and surrender to both the negatives and the positives is the key. So look into your life right now. What's going on there? Are there things that you don't like? Guaranteed. There's things in my life I just don't like. I just don't like that thing, and I wish it would go away, and I'd like to just go out into the formed world and control it. Well, guess what? It's startling as you continue your spiritual journey how little control you actually have over those things and events in your outer life. You have a lot of control over this, over what's going on in your heart, in your mind, in your reactions. But instead of trying to go out and I'm going to make that thing over here do this over here and this person, and I'm going to speak up and say all these things, There are times that we do take action, but not from that desire to control from the ego. The same thing is true with the positive opposites. Yes, you work for a living, perhaps, or you have friendships, or these are things you can all cultivate, but without trying to get out there and get a feeding for your ego. Instead, just appreciating it all as it comes in the opposites. So how do we train that observer self so that we can utilize the mechanism of the observer self in order to navigate the opposites and move ahead on the beam of our life plan? Well, one thing that we can do is to write down what our observer self is telling us, to do our journaling, to make sure that we're on the right track. And several times a week, I pull out my Spiritual Power Tools book and I turn to the chapter on journaling, which is found on page 39, if you have a book. And then I go to the questions that are there. There are five questions, and I just answer the questions. You know, a lot of people, and I'm one of them, don't like to journal. I don't like using that tool for moving with my observer self. And part of the reason why I don't like to journal is that it seems overwhelming or intimidating to put pen to paper and think, well, now what the heck am I supposed to do? And then when I learned about these questions in the book Spiritual Power Tools, I realized I don't have to work that hard at it. I can just answer the questions. And by answering these questions, revelations come. By just answering the first question, what am I feeling right now? I might not be at all aware of what I'm feeling at this point in my life plan. In fact, what I may be feeling may be something very different than what I'm actually, what I may think I'm feeling, may be very different than what I'm actually feeling. What I'm actually feeling may be different than what I'm telling myself or I'm thinking I'm feeling. And so just writing out, what is this feeling? It's a sadness, it's an anger, it's a fear, it's grief. And then asking the question, what is going on in my life that is triggering me, that is causing me to feel this way? And something will unfold, and it may not be what I thought it was. That's the beauty of doing actual journaling and not just thinking about things. Because when you put your pen to paper, you can't fool yourself as well. Your muscle memory of your kinesthetic sense of writing actually will cut right through and short circuit your brain's or your mind's tendency to delude yourself or to keep yourself stuck. When you do something that's physical and visceral, like journaling, you find out things that you perhaps didn't realize. They're hidden below the surface. And then there's the third question, which is, how is this a pattern in my life? How's this repeating in my life? And revelations will come sometimes having to do with situations in this lifetime or even in past lifetimes. You might get a clue or a hint as to a reincarnation memory. You know, this just seems familiar to me, this feeling, this reaction that I'm having, and this event of why I'm so upset when I heard that news on the radio. I mean, why does that bother me so much in something else? Well, perhaps the cause is found somewhere in the distant past. I must have been in a situation like this once before. Maybe I was surrounded and I was part of a group of people who were massacred. And so I feel in danger, even though I have no danger, I'm just listening to the radio. Do you see how this works? And then the next question, which is very important, is what's my soul trying to tell me right now? What is my soul saying? And this is that true belief, that true assumption that then comes in and brings a calming influence and realigns me to my path, gets me back on the beam, back on the track. And then finally, the last question is, if my soul were in charge and not my ego, how would I handle things differently? How would I handle things differently? And sometimes I find myself writing in my journaling book, I just wouldn't do anything. I just let it go. I've seen it and I can just release it. And other times there's a specific action to take, but it's not coming from my fearful ego that wants to go out here and control everything. No, it's coming from my higher self, my infinite consciousness that is coming through my soul and expressing in my journaling work. So I highly recommend that you really get to know and make friends with these five questions. And it also helps you to keep yourself from being overwhelmed by your journaling. You can use your observer self as you navigate your life plan by means of journaling. And so awaken to those hidden potentials, those hidden strengths that are within you that want to come forth, but they're being covered over or blocked by the false beliefs that you're holding in your subconscious mind. And so when you journal using this tool, you're letting off the barrier that keeps this pressure building within your subconscious. And you can breathe again. You feel free. The air, the atmosphere is fresh and clean. So the journaling is so important. Now, sometimes as I do this journaling work, or I'll just be aware of it, just answering these five questions isn't sufficient, because you don't want to just get into a rant, or it's good to get your emotions out. So it's good to let out what may seem like a rant, but you don't want to be stuck in your journaling. You want to really direct the energy. And in those cases, the Spiritual Power Tools book has a chapter on 7 steps to successful life transitions. And those are the big guns. That's where you can really do some deeper work and clear out the karma and forgive those karmic patterns that are within your subconscious mind. And then you can be free and move forward on your spiritual journey with a sense of confidence, with a sense of security, with a sense of well-being and satisfaction in your life. So these tools help you. The observer self helps you to stay on the beam, to stay centered in your life. And it's all about being centered. Your life plan was a decision that you made before you came into this life on what you wanted to experience. And you met with the karmic board souls on the other side before you incarnated in this life, who were there to support you in looking at what the different choices might be, what might you primarily work on in this lifetime, what lessons you might defer to the future, but what is available to you based on your unique karmic situation. You see, you've had hundreds of lifetimes. And Jane says there's probably a half dozen that are strongly operating as you begin any incarnation. I mean, you can't keep track of all the others. It's too much. But there's maybe 5 or 6 or 7 that are very, very significant for you. For me, it's 6 lifetimes that really made up the karma, which I'm working out in this lifetime. Now, all of those lifetimes were made up of the karma before. So by dealing with those lifetimes, with the karmic board, you really were pretty much getting a handle on where your soul was at before you were ready to incarnate. And so you met with this karmic board and they gave you options. They reflected. They might have made suggestions. They might have given you concerns or even warnings about what might be there. They might also give you encouragement and confidence. I know that one of my children, as a very young child, shared that they could remember that meeting with the karmic board and even a couple of the questions that they made a decision from. Now, whether you believe that or not, I do, of course, I'm the dad, but when you're a child, you can remember these things more than you can as an adult until you open up in your spiritual life. But you can know that there was something that happened before this lifetime, and that whatever's happened in this lifetime, you are not the victim of. Your life plan was designed by you, not even by the karmic board. They supported and assisted you, but you made the decisions for what you wanted to experience. And you say to yourself, well, I would never have chosen that. The question is your life in this lifetime designed to help you be comfortable, to get everything you want on the positive opposites over here on the tightrope? Or is it to help you move forward in your spiritual growth? And if it's designed to teach you, to help you advance in your spiritual growth, then it has to include both positives and negatives so that you can be drawn forward magnetically into the fulfillment of the truth of your being. The fulfillment of the truth of your being is to awaken, is to wake up in your higher self. And one way to assist this is to wake up in your observer self each day. I asked a question last week, which was, what was your primary focus to your life plan this time around? And I shared that mine was to open my heart. And so I had experiences that were designed to encourage me to open my heart on the positive side, or to be a kind of a battering ram to crack the hard shell that I had placed, the hard shell of false beliefs and fears and judgments around my heart. And so open me up from the negative side. So you've had both these positives and these negatives that have supported that primary purpose of this life plan. Now, in our Thursday group, people shared that their life plan seemed to have shifted as they went through their lifetime. That perhaps at one part of their lifetime, they were all about just fulfilling their desires and having pleasure. And in some cases, perhaps that led to a need to go into recovery and face some issues, which then led to them becoming aware of their spiritual journey and their spiritual path. For other people, it looked differently, but the life plan has as its key word, plan. It's a systematic plan, not rigid. There's a lot of free will and there's a lot of fluidity, because you are a soul in evolution with free will, but within the general confines of your life plan, which is a fluid and yet it is an established curriculum for moving forward in this lifetime. Now, most of us who are watching this video or attending this class are having what Jane calls a victory life. And you might say, my life doesn't feel like a victory life to me. But to some extent, your life has been a victory life. And what does she mean by victory life? That means a life in which the desires of your personality selves from former lives get fulfilled. And the way I can say that with confidence is that most of us who are watching are living in a country where there is, compared to your other lifetimes, definitely, and certainly compared to most people in the world, greater prosperity, greater opportunities for pleasure, greater opportunities for material gain and money and all those third dimensional things that are on the positive opposites. And the design for a victory life is designed to get you to a point even if it included you had to hit some bottoms and you went through some difficult times, you still have had a taste and a fulfillment of your desires to a point where you say, enough is enough. Is that all there is? I got all I wanted in that area, or maybe I didn't, but I got enough of it that I could see, I could just, it's kind of like eating a meal. If you gorge yourself and gorge yourself and gorge yourself, that does not satisfy you. Yes, you're supposed to taste it and assimilate it, but the positive things that you came in a victory life to experience will never satisfy you ultimately, because only one thing will satisfy you. And that's not going over to this side of the tightrope and fulfilling all these desires. It's moving ahead on the journey and fulfilling your destiny, which is to awaken to the truth of your being, to open your heart, to lift into your higher consciousness, and to wake up. So this has been a sweet deal in this lifetime, even if you feel negatively about a lot of things. We all have the negatives. I mean, all you have to do is look on television or read about some of the great movie stars or the people who are getting everything they want. There's a lot of negatives there too. And for you, it's been a sweet deal, but you also have had the negatives, but it's not enough. It'll never be enough, because it's always going to be in the opposites, and the opposites can never give you what you want. The opposites, good or bad, can never bring you what you want. They're only designed to let go and complete your karma and to draw you forward as you evolve into that soul that is awakening to the truth of your being. But then you find yourself in these emotional states, and you find yourself going through these times that are so troubling, because that's part of the opposites as well. And the answer is to use your observer self to pull out of the emotions by becoming aware of them. The journaling questions I mentioned helped. And then rise above them. Rise above the drama of life so that you can see things from a higher vantage point. Lift up on the spiritual thermometer above a 5. Allow yourself to become aware of what's really happening for you and within you. And then find yourself, as you lift up, becoming centered and moving beyond the opposites. But as your observer self reveals these states of consciousness that you're in, you might find, especially as you really progress spiritually, that you see a whole lot on the negative side. And I've heard both Jane and her spiritual partner, Shireen, say, I got to a point where I just said, is there anything positive in my subconscious? All I seem to see are the negatives. But the answer came to them that seeing the positives isn't going to help. You already know what the positives are. It's the negatives that have to be forgiven. It's the negatives that have to be released. You've got to be able to accept the unacceptable in you. You see, your life plan not only includes positives and negatives, it was never designed for you to do it perfectly. You will never do everything perfectly in the third dimension. It's impossible. That's why you've got to let yourself off the hook of the perfectionist, and then be willing to really look at those negative sides and realize that when you're cleaning your house, you don't fixate on the couch where everything's all neat and clean and tidy. You look in the corners where there's something you have to sweep up or vacuum. And so you're being shown those things as you progress spiritually that you most likely didn't want to see. But they're important for you to see, because only in cleaning up those negatives and the opposites are you freed to move forward. And when you see these things, it's so easy to fall into a pit of guilt. And let me talk for a moment here about this possible pitfall in your life, which is to fall into a pit of guilt where you are looking at some aspect of your own behavior in the past or some part of your own subconscious now, and you go, oh, woe is me. Oh, poor, pitiful me. I'm such a terrible person, and you beat yourself up. And guess what that does for you? Absolutely nothing. Because your life plan was designed with the negatives as well as the positives in mind. And you were not meant to do everything perfectly. It's not expected. It's not possible. It's never happened. Even if you read about the lives of the saints or the great spiritual beings, there's always some negatives in there. And so you have to let yourself off the hook of perfectionism. Let yourself off the hook of perfectionism using your observer self and realize that you never were expected to do everything perfectly without using that as license or an excuse or to say that, you know, you're excused from everything. Instead, take responsibility while understanding that this is a part of your journey. You need to look at these things, not stare at them, but look at them and feel the remorse that's a cleansing emotion, but not fall into the pit of guilt. And notice the emotions that come up for you as you do this work with your observer self. In our Thursday group, we were talking about the emotions that surface as we observe ourselves and realize that we can identify what they are. That's why it's the first of the journaling questions. What am I feeling? And it's most likely a form of fear or sadness or anger. It can be being terrified or feeling insecure. These are all forms of fear. We can feel grief, which is a form of sadness. And we can feel, sometimes I feel uncomfortable. That's really hidden anger. And really become aware of what those emotions are. And then grab hold of the thread of that emotion, because it has something behind it, and pull on that thread using your journaling questions, using your observer self, and even the seven steps, and pull on the thread of the emotion. What's behind this fear? It's a belief I'm holding. It's being caused by something that's going on right now in my life. And pull on it until you can pull out what your soul is trying to show you, what the lesson is for you, what the benefit is for you on your journey. Now, all day, every day, these things surface, these emotions surface. And what I find is that once I recognize what's behind that emotion, sometimes when I'm driving around in my car, all I can just say is, that's not true. That's not true. And by doing that, that shifts the energy. Now, when I get a chance, or if I'm in a place where I can do it, then I can do some journaling work. But you're not going to journal every emotion you have. So whenever I find myself stuck in a false belief or reacting to something or having a negative emotion, just saying out loud, if I can, if not silently, that's not true, helps me to shift to what is true. Because once you lift off what's not true, what is true is the truth of your being, that you are an infinite soul in evolution, and that you came in with a life plan designed to help you balance your soul, to balance everything in your life, to balance out the love and the wisdom and the will, so that you're not too strong in any one of those three areas. You say, how do you be too strong with wisdom? Don't you want all the wisdom there is? Well, yes, you do. And you want all the love there is, and you want to have all the will to good that there is, but you want to be balanced within those three so that you're not just hammering with your will or trying to use your mind all the time or just kind of vibing with that love aspect. You balance out your love with your wisdom and your will. You balance out your will with your wisdom and your love. You balance out your wisdom with your love and your will. You find, and you can find out in your journaling, where am I? Where am I too out of balance with these three expressions of my being? Your life plan is balancing out your whole being, and it's balancing out your mind so that you're not any longer reliant solely on your intellect, but that you are lifting up into the intuitive awareness, which is the truth of your being. You know, I thought that as my spiritual path would progress, that I would just move into a higher and higher and more sophisticated intellect, that I would trade in the intellect that I had for a really powerful intellect. But as I understood and I was taught the difference between the third and the fourth dimensions, and as Jane, and it's in the Spiritual Power Tools, there's a chapter on it, showed me that the third dimensional mind is the intellect and the fourth dimensional mind is the intuition, I realized I had to let go of my intellect altogether. Oh, it's still there to do what it is I need to do when it's time for me to do my taxes or to do something that's purely intellectual, but more and more relying on the higher mind of the intuition, which is the fourth dimensional mind. And you came into this lifetime. I want to change the subject just a little bit. You came into this lifetime to fulfill desires that you carried with you from past lifetimes. You came in to fulfill desires that may seem negative, but they were desired by that part of you from lifetimes ago that may have had behaviors that were addictive and wanted to incarnate to have more of that. And then maybe you went into recovery for it. And also you have spiritual inclinations from past lives that you came into this lifetime in this life plan to fulfill. Maybe you tried to be a very serious and ascetic nun or priest or adept somewhere in Asia, and you were so strict and so rigid. And when you dropped your body and were on the other side and worked with the karmic board, you realized that did not give me what I wanted. And there's maybe a higher understanding of spirituality. And so you came in with spiritual aspirations as well. And they are hallmarks in your life plan. Maybe you had needs, and this is very strong for me, a desire for children. I hadn't had children that I could remember for 1,000 years. Well, no, I guess it was about 600 years. And I had had lifetimes in which I didn't get that experience. And there was an unfulfilled desire that I got to experience in this victory life here. And it was a wonderful experience, but I also have to understand that even that has to be released. And this, I can continue. In fact, I can love more when I'm not attached. You realize, if you look into your own life and your own heart, that to the extent that you hold other people in bondage, that you are attached to certain outcomes and certain ways things have to look and people have to behave, that you can't love. It blocks love. And so releasing the attachments from those experiences you've had in this life, in my case with a family, or in your case perhaps with success, or even with religion, you can let go of those things and grow into a greater experience of the who that you are. And finally, there's one great desire of your higher self to become enlightened, to awaken, to uncover the truth of your being. To know God is one way people put it, or to awaken to your higher self is the way other people put it. You came in with that as well. And that is a hallmark on your spiritual life plan, which brought you into this classroom. Guaranteed, everyone who's here had that core desire somewhere, that desire for that spiritual something more. And as you went through your life plan, you found that there were times in which you learned, you went to school, you were developing your intellect, and other times later in your life, maybe you let go of that and realized how little you really knew and that you had to be taught from a higher place. Sometimes as your life plan unfolded, you were there to set boundaries, to be clear about your independence. Other times you blended and merged with others. Sometimes in your life plan, at a certain point, and you can look back over it, you can see where you had successes and you had to build a business or a career. And other times you've had to let that go. I'm retired now, so I've worked very hard, continue to let go of that career that I had for 40 years. It's not my identity. And your life plan also includes something called voids. Jane calls it a void, where these are the times when what's next hasn't revealed itself, that you're between chapters of your life. And the first time you become aware of this happening, you might say to yourself, this doesn't feel right. I don't understand this. I feel strangely empty. But what's coming up for you next is something that you won't notice unless you're quiet enough through being in this void state, this quiet state, so that you would notice it. You wouldn't notice it when it comes in. And so the void is designed not only to let go of what chapter you just experienced and completed, but also so that you have the discernment so that you can fully accept and embrace that next lesson, which is coming down the pike for you. And whenever something is going on in your life, whenever you're in doubt, surrender. Whenever you're in doubt, forgive. Whenever you're in doubt, Jane has said, take it up the seven steps. If you're struggling with anything in your life, your surrender and your forgiveness are best supported with the observer self tool of the seven steps. Journal out using the seven steps questions in the spiritual power tools. And they're also found on the website for the Center for Enlightenment. And journal out those deep yearnings and desires and those hopes and dreams, as well as the disappointments and the difficulties and the forgiveness, so that you can move through these situations in your life. Your soul is reaching out for something more. Your soul is reaching out for a new awareness. It's so exciting, this journey, because it's calling you to something more expanded, more fulfilling, and greater than anything you've known to this point in your life. You are expanding into a new awareness of something greater, of getting to know who you are. It's called self-realization because you realize who you truly are as your true self. It's called awakening because the scales drop from your eyes and you can see the who that you are, the infinite being in God that you were created to be. And now I want to invite you to join with me in meditation. And as we get ready for our meditation, there's a link in the chat room for donations if you want to support the Center for Enlightenment, or you can go on the website. Also know that on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, we are here every Thursday night to support you on your journey as you awaken to the truth of your being. But right now, just allow yourself to move into that infinite consciousness, that infinite awareness that is the truth of your being. And just become quiet. Settle down. Settle back. And attune to the truth of your being. Become still and calm. Open up to the awareness within you, which is simply the truth of your being. As you embrace the truth of your being, you are embracing your life plan and aligning with the centeredness, being on the beam of your life plan. Not moving too far to one side or the other, but keeping your observer self, the eyes of your observer self, clearly fixed on the horizon before you of awakening to the truth of your being. I am aligned with my observer self. I am balanced and attuned to my life plan. And I am ready for the revelations that are being uncovered as I move in the stillness of my being, as I move in the quietude of who I am. And now as we come back to the chair that we're in and the body that is serving us so beautifully in this lifetime, in this life plan, becoming aware of our hands and feet and fingers and toes and the air upon our skin, as we become aware of the room that we're in and all the people who are here supporting us on our soul's journey in our life plan. We're grateful for the revelations that are going to come this week to reveal those hidden gems within our life plan. Those things that we need to see in order to continue moving forward on the beam, balancing our soul, becoming greater, aware of greater and greater potentials of being. Thank you. Thank you, infinite self, infinite presence. Thank you, God. Amen. Well, thank you for sharing this journey with us today, and hope to see you Thursday night at 7. Next week, we're going to talk more about reincarnation as it fits into this journey of a life plan. And until then, enjoy observing yourself and seeing what your higher self is revealing to you. Until then, bye for now.